John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. This is the final message in this series of knowledge of God. And I hope to bring it all down to a point of, what's the reason for it all? Why do we need a deeper knowledge of God? Why do we need to be closer to God? I think it comes down to, we have a mission. We are not here just to spend 70, 80, 90 years and then die and go to heaven. Okay? That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to serve the Lord while we're here. Then we die and go on to our reward, right? Or geez, better yet, Jesus comes back and we just meet Him in the air. That day's coming. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, John chapter 20, verse 19. The same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we approach Your throne of grace with thanksgiving. Thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that will wash and cleanse from all sin. Now, Lord, I pray that You would use me to proclaim the glorious gospel message. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will have free reign among us today, that You would convict of sin, that You would draw all men to You, and that You would give us the heart to respond to Your leading. Lord, we pray Your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday we talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this Sunday, Jesus has risen from the grave, of course. But He's not made that appearance to His disciples. In the text that we read, as a matter of fact, in the text that we read, He makes that initial appearance to His disciples. We find the disciples gathered together in the upper room, and the first thing we notice is the atmosphere of the meeting. It says the doors were shut for fear of the Jews. Now that word "shut," it doesn't mean just to close the door like we would close a door here. That word "shut" means to lock and to bar the door. The atmosphere of that meeting that day, the disciples were gripped with fear. They were terrified. And with good reason, they had watched Jesus as He was arrested, as He was beaten, as He was tried. They watched Jesus as He was nailed to that cross. They watched Jesus draw His last breath. They watched Jesus being laid in that tomb. And now they know that the same thing could happen to them. Quite frankly, they're scared to death. You know, it's easy to talk of bravery like Peter when Jesus told him that He would deny him. And Peter said, "No, I'll never deny You. I'll follow You to the death." But when you come face to face with that life-threatening situation, it often causes us to change our tune. That's what happened to His disciples at this point. They're just afraid. And suddenly, it says that Jesus came and stood in their midst. Now, I want you to understand, He did not come through the locked door. He didn't knock on the door and they opened it and let Him in. He just appeared. It's going to be cool when we get to heaven and have that glorified body where we don't have to use doors anymore, isn't it? And the first thing Jesus said to these scared disciples was, "Peace be with you." Peace. You know, and I think it was at that point that the atmosphere of this meeting changed. And as I thought about that phrase, I went back to the book of John chapter 4, where Jesus and His disciples were in the boat and the storm rose and Jesus was sleeping in the boat and the disciples were fighting the storm until finally the storm was about to overwhelm them. And they wake Jesus and they say, "Jesus, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we perish?" Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And you remember what happened next? It says, immediately the sea was calmed. I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. But you know what's even more cool? It's greater when He does it to the inside of a person. It's greater when He calms that storm that's turning our lives upside down. And you know, and I thought, man, there's a lot of people, I'm sure, fighting the battles today. As a matter of fact, I know there are a lot of people who are fighting the battles today, facing the storm, fighting the marriage battle. Is my marriage going to make it through this difficult time? Fighting the battle of raising children, fighting the battle of finances and trying to meet our obligations. There are some that are still fighting the fear battle of COVID because every time you turn on the TV, it's a COVID report. As I consider where we are, I think, you know, there's a lot of people who are afraid today, who just plain and simply need to hear from Jesus that phrase, "Peace be with you." I looked at John 14:27 and I thought, you know, that peace is still available today. It's still so very real today. We don't stop and take the time to just consider. But Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." God still calms the storm. I know Christians today who are just scared to death because they think, you know, it's over. I want to tell you something. It's not over. You know how I know it's not over? Because I'm still here. And when it's over, Jesus is going to sound a trumpet and I'm gone, right? And so either way, it's good news. But I don't have to be afraid. I know people that are battling COVID and this plague, whatever. But they're still afraid. They're afraid to go into stores. They're afraid to come to church. They're afraid to get out and live. Bless your hearts. I would just give you this. Jesus is still Jesus. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus walked in that room and said, "Peace be to you." And then He showed them His hands and His side. Can you imagine? I mean, they think Jesus is dead. Suddenly He appears in the middle of that room and they're like, "Jesus, no, that can't be Jesus. We watched you die." Jesus says, "Look at my hands. Look in my side where they thrust that spear into my side." Do you know why Jesus did that? It was more than just identification. Yes, it really was Jesus. But you know what that says? That says that Jesus has taken the best shot that this world has to offer, and He is now victorious over the world, over death, over hell and the grave. I want to tell you something. When Jesus appeared in this room, that room changed because they realized Jesus was not dead. He was still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I figured out, it's at this point that the disciples begin to realize that the world can take their best shot, but we still win. I want to ask you again, where are you today? What's your battle today? Why are you behind locked doors today? Brother Doug, I'm scared. Jesus is still Jesus. And He still wins. And if I'm a child of God, guess what? I win also as a son of God through Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Doesn't matter what you're going through, Jesus wins. Doesn't matter what the world throws at you next week. Brother Doug, I'm about to lose my job. It's okay. Jesus is still on the throne. Brother Doug, my kids are out of control. It's okay. Most kids are out of control, but Jesus is still on the throne. Brother Doug, I'm just scared. I'm just scared. Listen to Jesus. Weeping may remain for a night, but glory to God, joy comes in the morning. I believe it's at this point these disciples realize we win. Not only, and see, they needed that encouragement because Jesus was not finished with them yet. And I think that's what we need as a church, as not only Victory Missionary Baptist Church, but the church throughout the world needs to realize our mission is not over. Jesus then told His disciples, as the Father sent Me, I also send you. That word send, it means to send for a purpose, to give a commission. Jesus was not finished with these men. They're now under direct commission of Jesus Christ and going to be sent to preach the gospel to this world. Now here's our place. We've went through the year. We faced COVID. We faced restrictions. Guess what? We're still here. And glory to God, we still have a mission. We're here for a reason. That mission is to declare the glory and the salvation gospel of Jesus Christ. For the last approximately 12 weeks, we've been in John's school of relationship with God. The point being to draw closer to the Lord. I want you to understand the reason we need that close relationship with the Lord. It's not just so that we feel good. The church today seems to be all about being warm and fuzzy. Having that feeling. I want to tell you something. And I tell you this lovingly. And for those that are watching at home, I tell you this lovingly. And those of other church, I tell you this lovingly. But church and our mission, our purpose is way bigger than a feeling. We're here to glorify God through the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, that feeling of the moving of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful byproduct. But do you understand the reason that we have the Spirit of God is empowering us to do what we are called to do? That's why Jesus says, look guys, it's not over. I'm sending you to preach the gospel. We still have a mission. And it's not just to come to church on Sunday morning. Do you realize that you are sent? You are here not to cower in fear, not to make excuses for why you can't. You are here to fulfill God's call on your life. You're here. If you're teaching a class, you're here to teach that Sunday school class. If you're a minister, if you're a pastor like myself, I'm here to preach the gospel, to make disciples. If you're a nursery director, you're here to instill Jesus in those children. Tiny Tots, junior high school, you're here for a reason. And that reason is to declare Jesus Christ. Okay? These guys were at that point when they were in that room, I'm sure they're thinking, I'll never be any good again. Oh, yes, you are. Jesus appears and says, look, guys, time to go to work. Just like I was sent, you were sent. And I want to make the same challenge to you today. Let's not settle for business as usual. I will be quite honest with you. After the year that we have seen, I am more encouraged that we have a mission now more than I've ever been. That mission is to share Jesus Christ. Jesus said, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I want you to grab that. I also send you. That means you. That means me. That means everybody here. You're not here to fly through life for your own personal enjoyment. You're here to fulfill God's call on your life. That's the challenge. Verse 22, and when he had said this, this is where it gets really good. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Doug, what in the world was Jesus doing? And just to tell you, that word breathe on, you know what it means? It means to breathe on. Literal. Jesus goes, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a lot of different ideas on what this means, but I'm going to share with you what I believe this means, okay? This image recalls God's creative work in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember when God created Adam and Eve? Actually, Adam. When God created Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Symbolic. This is not some special tied you over gift to the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. No, Jesus is teaching them the lesson. This breath of life that comes from Jesus. That's what he's pointing to. In Ephesians chapter 2:10, it says, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, I believe this breathing is just a symbol of the new life, the new mission that Christ has given to his disciples. Breathing that breath of life into them. That they're now a new creation created to carry on the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How shall they do this work? Receive the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to understand, Jesus breathes on them and tells them, receive. He didn't breathe the Holy Spirit on them, okay? As a matter of fact, that word receive, is in is a command. It's a command that they receive the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is, when the Holy Spirit comes, receive that empowering of the Spirit. Listen. What the church, what most believers do not understand, and to my Sunday school class this morning, I apologize because I'm getting over in what we covered this morning, but anyway, you can have it twice, okay? What most people don't understand is that the work that we are called to do is not based on what we ourselves can do. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says, receive the Spirit. Take it to yourself. Receive that empowering. You're going to need it. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. But receive the Spirit. Take hold of the Spirit. Realize your dependence upon the Spirit. The longer that I preach, the more I become aware of my dependence upon God as I preach. If it's left up to me, it means nothing. But if it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, it changes lives. I've discovered that. So my challenge to you today is to, number one, don't live in fear. Okay? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And then number two, realize you're sent. God has a call on your life. Number three, realize you are empowered by God to answer that call. I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about, well, you know, I can't. Well, you've got half of it right. You can't, but God can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then finally, in verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Talk about a tough verse. But I want you to understand what he's talking about, okay? He's not giving you the authority to forgive somebody's sins. God alone has that authority, right? Only God has that authority. What he is doing is he's pointing out to his disciples how effective they are will determine the future of those people they're trying to reach. Give you an example. Okay? We're sent. We're empowered. Now we've got to answer the question, what are we going to do with what we've been given? Okay? The important part is people are depending upon us as children of God. If through my preaching someone repents, the lost person repents and turns to Jesus Christ for the gospel, their sins are forgiven. Those people that I reach by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're forgiven. Those people that I don't reach through the gospel of Jesus Christ are not forgiven. Here's where I really bring it back to me. There are so many people in the world today who have not answered God's call on their life. They do not understand the consequences. If I do not preach the gospel, very likely somebody that I could have reached will not be saved because I didn't answer God's call. Same is true for you. If you do not answer God's call on your life, whether it be preacher, whether it be teacher, whether it just be a faithful servant in the church, if you do not answer God's call, somebody else could spend eternity in hell because of your unfaithfulness. I believe that's the point here. Now, with that in mind, I want to remind you
of the great need that we have, not only in Russellville, but throughout the world, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what I keep discovering? I keep thinking that everybody knows what I know. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I gave Jesus I called upon Jesus and made Him my Savior when I was 8 years old. And I get into the mindset that I think everybody knows what I know. I think everybody understands what I understand. And I lose sight of the fact that there's a lot of people out there who do not have the background that I have. And so today, I want to share with you the most basic concept of our faith. And that is salvation by grace through faith. Today, I'm here to declare unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to be saved because you're a sinner. Now, if you haven't listened to anything that I've said so far, please listen right now. You're a sinner. Well, Brother Doug, who are you to call me a sinner? I'm nothing. The Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you. That's everybody present. Okay? You've got to deal with that sin. You can ignore it and pretend that it's not there. And what's going to happen is that one day you're going to die and you're going to hell. Brother Doug, are you trying to scare me? No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. If you do not deal with your sin, hell is your destination. But there's good news. That's what the gospel means. The gospel means good news. The good news is that Christ died to pay for your sins. Your sins, my sins. That's what Calvary was about. Because the wages of sin is death. And yes, you can refuse the sacrifice of Jesus, but to understand, you'll spend eternity paying for your sins. The glorious gospel is this. Jesus Christ has paid for your sins. Bought and paid the cross of Calvary. And now the ball is in your court. And the invitation goes out. Jesus says, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Listen, you know, people say, "Brother Doug, I'm not such a bad person." Didn't say you were a bad person. I said you were a sinner. Okay? Well, Brother Doug, I just think that maybe when I get to heaven, that God will weigh my good and my bad, and my good will outweigh my bad. Where do you get that? It's certainly not the Bible. It's not. I want you to catch the glorious gospel. The gospel, the bad news is, before you get to the good news, you've got to have bad news. Bad news is, you're a sinner and you're bound for hell. The good news is, Christ died for you so that you could have eternal life. Plain and simple. We're told in the book of Romans, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you called upon Jesus? Do you know? Do you have the assurance today that if you were to die, you would meet Jesus in heaven? If you don't have that assurance, you need to get that taken care of. Why? Because nobody knows what's going to happen in 5 minutes. You know, I started to say tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. You know, you hear of people all the time that are fine 1 minute, the next minute they drop. Basketball referee. A couple of weeks ago, he was refereeing the finals, the final basketball championships, and it's Final Four, Elite Eight, or something. And he was out there doing just fine, and he hit the floor. Now, that man didn't die. It was a blood clot. They managed to get him back. But how many other people had a moment and it's over? Do you know where you're going? The good news is Jesus Christ, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know where you're going, I want to challenge you with this. Listen, we've got to be more diligent in reaching our community. We've got to be more open with sharing Jesus. We've got to be more determined in our ministry, because people are depending upon how well we answer God's call in our life. Okay? And I do not want to... You know, Paul said something that was just profound. He said he was free from the blood of all men. You know what that meant, what he was talking about? He said that I've been faithful. I've preached Christ everywhere I've went. Everybody I know has heard Jesus Christ died for their sins. Well, I wish I could say that, but I can't. But I want to challenge you as well as myself from this point forward. Let's have that mentality. The world needs to know Jesus, and we're here to share Him. Heavenly Father, in this invitation now, I pray for those who are lost. I pray that You will draw them to You. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would convict of sin. I pray, Lord, that You'll give them the courage to step out and to call upon You for salvation. Lord, I pray now, Your will be done. I pray for those that are fighting fear. I pray for those that are too busy to give You the time You deserve. I pray for those that are fighting Your call upon their lives. I pray that You will move us all. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you stand?